join us again.
Okay, I think I have no other questions. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Are there other persons here who wish to testify on this matter? Or who feel that they can add anything that...
I will add one thing if I might.
If you would come over so we can get it down on.
I just wanted to point out that in January of this year, John Jessup and myself did go to Brooks Air Force Base when it was offered as a medical requirement by ITT and offered to us in letter form under standard worker compensation rules. At that time, we did travel to Brooks Air Force Base. There seems to be a shroud of mystery as to whether or not this incident produced injury. I don't wish this reprinted, but you may read it. It is my medical records. This stuff does hurt people. There seems to be considerable debate there over and over. Does radiation hurt people? The answer is yes. That's really all I have to add. You're free to read those or reproduce them.
Well, if you care to make any comments on it, Ron. For example, when you said it does hurt, what is your condition now? How long have you been wearing glasses? I don't think I asked you that question.
The majority of my life. Uh-huh. It's a long term.
Yeah. Have you had to change your glasses since this accident?
Yes, sir, twice.
Do you have the same problems with your eyes that we've heard testified to before from the other gentleman?
I've had visual hallucinations, difficulty focusing, difficulty reading backlighted objects.
Did you ever have that happen to you before this accident?
No, sir.
I'm interested to know. I mean, I can't really assess this unless I were to see Mr. Forsling's report, but why they diagnose you as suffering ill effects from excessive exposure to radio frequency radiation levels, and why they would tell you that you're 100% shape. I mean, I don't understand.
It's part of this incredible situation we find ourselves in. The entire incident since it happened has filled our lives with double talk. We haven't had a straight answer in 6 months.
Well, go ahead. That's
no, you go ahead. I'm just going to ask one thing while you were down there. Did you run across anybody else that had heard of any other people having the same type of problem, accident?
When we went to Brooks Air Force Base, it was indicated to us there was a great deal of medical expertise available at that station. That is why IT&T made a medical requirement of the trip. When we actually got down there, I actually only spoke to one physician that had ever even seen an RF injury. The expertise, they quote, when you talk in military circles, is over at the Office of Environmental and Health Laboratories, and that's where they do their radiation research on rats. They don't have a cadre of physicians there that are experienced in dealing with human exposure problems. Or if they do, they weren't available when John Jessup and myself were there.
And what happens to the rats? Do you know?
When they're exposed to radiation?
Yeah.
Judging from what we've read and just speaking with people, it causes them to exhibit considerable number of abnormalities, behavior changes, immune changes, neurological changes, visual changes. We have a great deal of medical information we've sent around and got, part of it originating from the military, which we're certainly willing to make available to you.
The only thing I'd notice is that... do you mind if I read this out loud?
I would prefer you not. All right. That's private information.
I can say they are cautious in their discussion of cause and effect relationships.
Yes, very much so.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else
need those back?
Yes. Does anyone else have any information that they'd like to? Yes. Your name is?
Mark Johnson.
Mr. Johnson?
You, in a question to Mr. Short, what could the legislature do as far as accidents of this nature in the future? And you asked how many people work in this type of industry, etc. We have, you know, within the Teamsters, we represent a large majority of people throughout the state that are involved in this type of work environment or similar. I would estimate that we, without putting a pencil to it, we represent probably 700 employees who are subject to this type of radiation. Not only here at Clear,
statewide.
I'd have to put a pencil to it to give you the exact figure, but that's a top of the head guess. But approximately 400.
How many did you say?
I'm guessing in the neighborhood of 700. Not only here, Clear, at the remote radar sites throughout Western Alaska, all the employees that work for Alaskom, who are subject to some sort of exposure to radiation. Mm-hmm. Since there is not a lot in the regulations to the various state agencies or federal agencies, and a lot is unknown about it, I would think that maybe the legislature ought to look at putting something in there. I don't know what would be required. I could probably make some suggestions to you after a little bit of research.
Well, it seems to me that from the point of view of prospective remedies, and they really are, prospective remedies are not really remedies at all, but they may be helpful. And there may be more items that we'll consider when we play this testimony back. First, there's the principle of the right of the worker to know what the worker's been exposed to. And as I said, that principle, the legislature has affirmed that principle in the more standard areas of hazardous and toxic substance exposure, and more recently in the Agent Orange situation where I believe we have a bill requiring physicians to keep a central reporting on such cases so that doctors downstream can know what the history was. And by the way, that may be something else to consider here, so that any future physician will know what the exposure was. The second thing that occurs to me is the issue of the duty of the employer to report. It should not be, in my judgment, a function of whether the employee took the initiative to file a workers' compensation claim. The third area is the need for not only the right of the worker to know, but an accurate testing method that has to be in place and has to be available, and that seems to have been something of a problem here. A fourth possible area is in the administration of the workers' compensation law itself, because we have some confusion here about the cause and effect, and it may be that we can deal with that by creating presumptions. For example, we have a bill in the legislature now that says that a firefighter who develops certain symptoms, lung diseases and this kind of thing, will be presumed to have incurred them in the course of his firefighting career, so that the burden is not on the worker to show the cause and effect, it's on the employer or the employer's carrier to rebut the natural presumption. So by the same token, this is a case that's sort of classic. If you have a group of employees who all show sudden symptoms, such as the visual problems that we heard, and all had the same exposure levels, perhaps, and again, this is not something that affects the people who were exposed on September 14, but at least prospectively, in future, it would be the employer's burden to disprove, to come up with some explanation as to why all would have the same symptoms, rather than put it on the employee, to show the cause and effect relationship. So those are some of the things that I think we might I don't want to look at him. Yes, ma'am. Could jobs that are I have no information as to how many physicians in the United States there may be who would be expert, but I think it's a good suggestion that whoever they are, wherever they are, there shouldn't be any guessing about it. We ought to know where they are, and there ought to be a roster of them, and those are the people that ought to be consulted. So,
in some of our research, at a request from the employees to find one of the best doctors throughout the country who might know something about radiation, the name that keeps coming up is Brooks, where the individuals went. Now, because of this case, we tend to shy away from that because of the allegations that the Air Force was attempting to maybe not give the whole story. But there are several other places that that we came upon. In fact, that's actually why we came upon Dr. Sternhagen. He was recommended by, through our health and welfare people. They had contacted several people throughout the country, and it all seemed to focus back to Dr. Sternhagen, although he did not know that much. He was probably the most familiar and the closest to us.
Are you the local BA for 4959?
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything else you'd like
no,
to
sir.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to testify? Sir?
Testify, I'd like to comment. I think it was the Teamsters that pulled these gentlemen through Anchorage. The Teamsters wanted to find the doctor for these gentlemen.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, they're willing to take his recommendation to climb any place in the world to try and help them. Air Force, I did not do this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate everyone's participation, and especially Senator Moss's suggestion that we do this. I think it does suggest some areas for legislation and also oversight of our administration, and it's been very helpful to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
What my comment was.